I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. Today, we're talking about volunteering, a vital but often unsung part of hospital life. From guiding visitors to supporting patients on wards, volunteers bring energy, empathy, and an invaluable piece of their personal time to help staff and patients alike. Joining me today are two people who know that world very well. Claire Bancroft is Head of Volunteering here at the Trust, overseeing the strategic direction and the day-to-day development of our volunteering service. And David Goodwin is one of our amazing volunteers who's currently supporting the alcohol care team. He brings lived experience and a deep commitment to helping others on their recovery journey. Welcome both. Claire, can you start by telling us how volunteering has changed at the Trust in recent years?
Where do I start? So obviously volunteering's been part of the NHS since it began, really. Many trusts stepped down volunteers in COVID, but the vital role of volunteering was demonstrated like never before with hundreds and thousands of volunteers. And there was a real shift with the vision for volunteering, and it became a key contributor for improving patient experience and outcomes. And it's this vision which we've used here at Bradford as the foundation for what we wanted to do. And the last 2 years have been very busy. We've had a complete redesign and really changed what volunteering looks like here. We were previously a very traditional volunteer service.
And people volunteer for all sorts of reasons, don't they? We have people from all walks of life, people who have not ever worked in health services, people who have worked all their careers in health services and have retired now but want to come back and give more. People who use it as an entry into a substantive permanent career, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a student at sixth form, we had a programme where we could go into places that were potential work experiences as much as they were volunteering. And I chose to go into a hospital because I knew that I wanted a career in the health service and ultimately trained and became a nurse. But I wasn't quite sure at that point what it was all about and what it entailed and what it would be like. So can you explain how you're supporting that particular cadre of volunteer to use the volunteering experience as a step into a career in the NHS?
So the volunteer to career was a specific project which had clinical lead support, and we were designing volunteer roles specifically for people that wanted to get into education or employment. We did this across place. So we started with some health visiting baby clinic roles. That was kind of a bit of a pilot to begin with and really took off, seeing volunteers being trained to weigh a baby,
yeah,
you know, and actually the giving them these skills to be able to move forward with what they wanted to do. It was designed to think about the hospital and the community element. The roles were developed in maternity, and this was specifically for volunteers that wanted to further their careers or even just get into that, and really giving them different experiences and skills they can build on. It's really important to me that we build on that here. Currently, we ask the question on the application, are you interested in a career in the NHS? And we have three answers. One is yes, one is maybe in the future, and one is no. Because obviously, as you've previously said, there's lots of volunteers come for many reasons, and some people aren't bothered. They just want to come and volunteer and go home. But there's many, many more people coming in now that want this and want to develop.
So can you give us just an idea for people whose interest might be piqued by listening to this conversation? What are the kinds of things that we can offer them?
I get really excited when I talk about new roles. And I think you're absolutely right in what you said. The traditional roles, volunteering in the tea bars and the guides, are so important. And I think I'd like to start with the role. I mean, we've got David sat next to us, the alcohol care team feedback volunteer. This role was developed very early on. And I think David came on board as we were rolling out all our new processes. And his role was part of a pilot project to help educate patients around alcohol use and referring to the community services. And David's been a real part of this, supporting that team and gaining feedback from patients across wards. And that's quite a theme across many of the roles. Feedback comes part of that role. We've added that feedback element to it on purpose so that it gives people an opportunity to share that with somebody that isn't a member of staff. So we've got many ward support volunteer roles. That's quite a standard role that we tend to roll out across services. We have a heavy focus on falls prevention as well. So we've worked with Paul Street on that one to help volunteers sit with, you know, a number of patients and keeping them active and playing games with them and things like that. I've mentioned volunteer guides, helping people navigate around the hospital. That is absolutely key. We've got maternity support volunteers on both M3 and M4. It's all those little things, isn't it, that just keep adding value to the service. And there's many more. I could keep going. Yeah. I think one I'd like to mention is that we've got one for staff. So we have a Knit and Natter volunteer, which is a staff volunteer-led group, which I think is so important.
As is, you know, you've said it yourself, there's a common theme of the friendliness of the welcome and a smiling face. But that is not to be underestimated. You know, we're in the business of dealing with people who are, by definition, coming to us unwell, sick, unsure, anxious, and giving that compassion and that kindness is one of the most important things and one of the most lasting memories that those patients will take away. So really, really important. But you've talked about David, and I'm going to move to David now. David, can you tell us a bit about your own experience of addiction and how that led you to your current role with the alcohol care team?
I drank from the age of 17 to 50. It sort of got a bit worse when I was in my mid-20s, when I reached out for a certain brand of drink, what I won't recommend. But the pandemic didn't help, and it didn't help for lots and lots of people. It didn't help me at all. And it just got progressively worse because we was isolated and all we could do was go to shops or supermarkets as we was allowed by the government. So that's where I think a lot of people, not just me, have reached out for alcohol through that pandemic. The only thing I knew about getting help for drinking was go to an AA meeting, and I just thought, well, I can't go to that. That's just not for me. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to reach out. I'm going, because this is just making me ill. I'm going to die. It's going to kill me, is this. And I just saw an advert online, are you having problems with alcohol? And I sort of, I hummed and hawed about it all day, and I thought, shall I ring this number? Shame and guilt, all these things. So I rung that number, and it sort of snowballed from there, and I was signposted to the charity who got me sober. And once I sort of learned about the evidence-based things of why people become addicted to alcohol and substances, I sort of realised that I was traumatised. And I did come from a dysfunctional household. Then I realised this is why people disassociate from life. In my opinion, the reason why people take substances, alcohol and things like that, it's to change the way you feel. And I don't do that anymore. I just deal with it through thoughts, feelings, emotions, behaviours. And I want to really try and get to be my authentic self. I'm dealing with it. It's all through radical self-acceptance. I deal with it now. And I've educated myself massively since getting into recovery. I did the health and social care level 1, 2 and 3. I've done lots of external things. I studied a counselling level 2, level 3 diploma. I've got that. I'm doing understanding mental health awareness level 3 now. I just want to keep upscaling. And through that education, I've built lots of tolerance and increased my resilience. And that keeps me on the path of discipline. The thing is, through the counselling, the three core conditions of congruence, UPR, which is unconditional positive regard and empathy, are what I try and apply, not just here at hospital and just day-to-day life. I just want to help people.
I think there's certainly something in what you say about that. And COVID was a very, very difficult time for so many people. Mm. And for you to have come out of that and recognised and had that insight and support to get you to where you are is incredible. But that lived experience is something that, unless you've gone through it like you have, you can't empathise with someone in a similar position to that extent. And to help others in a similar situation in the way that you are through your volunteering is going to be incredibly powerful and impactful, because having that conversation and support with somebody who has been there and walked in that path gives them the positive optimism that, like you, they may find a way out of this. And I'm guessing that that's the kind of approach that you apply. What does your day-to-day activities look like in that team?
Well, it's an incredibly important role to me, and I try and do it to the best of my ability. I'm given a list of people. I just go see individual patients. Some of them know from the other charity I volunteer through and from when I used to be on the streets and things like that. It's just that connection. And if I say, look, I've been in your position, it's like me now, I'm 3 years, 9 months sober. If I tell that to somebody, the dynamic of that conversation changes. They probably think, who's this person? And then I say that, it's like a 360 turn, and then they can, sometimes I can be there a long time.
As health professionals, we're in that conversation with people, and oftentimes it's really easy to come across as judgmental and preachy and giving advice and direction without really understanding how it is for that individual. So one of the most powerful things must be for you to be able to say, look, where I have been where you are. You know, don't look at me as somebody who's never experienced this. I've been there, so I can tell you and empathize with you in a way that other people can't. As well-meaning as they are, there is a route out of this, and I can help and support you, as will the team, with all their expertise to help you do that. But it must be quite a relief for some of our patients to hear that from someone like you.
Yeah, I spoke to a gentleman the other week, and I was met with a bit of hostility, which doesn't happen often. So I just said a couple of things that, you know, Mr. Bright, and like I said, it just flipped it around a 360. Yeah. He says to me, do you think I need help? It's what has happened to that person in their life has brought them to this situation. But I just think, I probably know what some of these factors are. They're probably exactly the same things I've been through. And then the conversation starts, and they only need to say just little bits. And I'm not there to re-traumatise people. I just sort of go, stop, it's cool. And then I just think, that's how the addiction's got from over years.
And from your perspective, what is the most rewarding part of being a volunteer then? Is it that potentially a breakthrough moment, but what is it?
Just helping people. Yeah. It's just empathy, isn't it? And sometimes I'll see them again, or I'll signpost them to certain places where they can get additional help. And if I see them there, you know, I thought, oh, well, something worked there, you know. If I can do it, you can do it. It empowers me. Helps me keep going as I am. And I want to reach to 4 years sobriety, what's in September. There's times where my mind wanders off to, oh, what if I had one more drink? What if I had a drink? Do you think I could get away with it? And I just cannot do it.
Brilliant.
And nothing will stand in my way. You've got to want recovery. And the last 4 years have been best 4 years of my life. Prior to that, it was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
So I'm doing something right.
That you are able to bring all that here to this organisation to help our patients is a phenomenal gift to us, and we're really grateful for that, David. So, Claire, you've talked about volunteers being the friendly face on wards. What kind of feedback do you get from patients and our colleagues about the impact that volunteers have?
It's nice to hear feedback, isn't it? We're still in the early stages of volunteers coming back in and obviously growing volunteering across the organisation. And I think for us, evaluation in general is something we're looking at this next year. We're really wanting to get proper feedback and get some really good tools on there. Obviously, because we started as a blank canvas, it's limited, but from what we have got is really positive. The things that families seem to say, the general consistent words are that they're always friendly and offering kind words. And I think you said it earlier, Mel, didn't you, about they are that friendly face. You know, staff are busy. And as much as we can say, remember these beginning bits, a volunteer is there. They're giving their time for free and they are there available to chat to those people. And that for me is one of the biggest things that comes out of what people are saying. They ask how they are. Somebody had said you can tell when the volunteers are here as all the books and toys are clean and tidy, and it helps make the experience warm and as good as possible. From a staff point of view, I think staff very much notice how much volunteers interact with the patients, and I think that is one of the biggest themes that stands out. The role of a volunteer that really shines is how they interact with patients, the time they've got to chat and the time they've got to, whether it be fill up water jugs or help with meal cards. These little things which a volunteer is quite happy to do naturally are the little things to staff that really help release their capacity, the extra touches, the bits that make a difference to that patient.
The little things
experience.
That make a big difference. Yeah. And Claire, you talked about belonging as an aspiration for all our volunteers. So I'll ask David. David, do you feel like you're part of the wider team at the hospital?
As I've gone through my role, yeah, I have done. So back end of last year, I had what we call in recovery, a bit of a wobble. It was like an emotional relapse, and I got so much support from Fiona's team, and it really got me through it, you know, and thank you to them. And that really empowered me, and, they've been really good, and Fiona was so supportive with me the other week when we went to that volunteer celebration, meeting Claire, and, you know, it's special. It's all about contributing to my community, and from what I get from everybody else, I try and give back to them.
And Claire, what's next for volunteering at the Trust? Your big projects then?
What's my next big project?
Yeah, the next big thing.
Well, we've had a busy couple of years, Mel.
I know.
but we're working as business as usual now, which is great. And I think to sit in my manager's office, in Joe's office, and see on the wall what we were talking about, and actually now it's there, we've done it all, it's brilliant. We've got all the processes in place, everything's embedded. We want to continue developing roles now. So it's really making those connections with services that maybe haven't reached out. I've already mentioned about the development of our local offer for those volunteers who want to go into education or employment, want to work in the NHS. That's something I want to really focus on over the next 12 months. I think that's really important. We're offering something there. I'm also working quite closely with the palliative care team at the moment. So we're looking at end-of-life companions and looking at just revisiting that role a little bit and letting them as a team lead that fully, because they're the expert. But obviously, quite a sensitive area, needs to be the right volunteer. It certainly feels like we're on the right path and we're bringing volunteers in ready for those winter pressures. The priority has always been getting that governance right, and me solely knowing that volunteers in this organisation are safe and supported for them and staff.
So now we've got this platform, really, haven't we, that we know that we can make some really interesting and rewarding roles for volunteers.
Absolutely.
It's about connecting with them and scaling that up, isn't it, that offer, because in many respects, the more the merrier, because we know the value added by having volunteers around. And your conversations with departments and services that don't have a volunteer is more about, have you ever thought about having a volunteer, and exploring that as an opportunity that naturally they wouldn't perhaps think, can volunteers do that? Oh yeah, absolutely. Look at the range of volunteers we have. Look at the contribution they're making. Look at the stuff that David's doing. It's a real untapped resource out there, I think.
It is, and it's absolutely essential that services buy into that. David mentioned it earlier, and I didn't know about what David said about that little bit of a wobble and how Fiona supported that in the service. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, we talk about supporting volunteers and services being responsible for that day-to-day of valuing volunteers. I mean, that's an absolute example of services valuing their volunteers and supporting David through that
and
time.
And seeing them as a critical part of their team.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which goes back to the sense of belonging, doesn't it? What would you both say to someone who's thinking now, maybe even thinking for the first time because they've listened to this conversation about volunteering but isn't sure whether it's for them? What would you say, Claire?
I would firstly ask, why are they considering volunteering? I'd want to look at the reasons for them, because I'm a strong believer in ensuring that we get the right fit for the volunteer. It's important that a volunteer is coming in to do something that they want to do. And I think for us, that's a positive in how we've moved forward with the roles within the hospital. I would then ask what they're thinking. Do they think volunteering looks like in the NHS? Because I think people automatically think clinical all the time. And I'd invite them to look at our range of roles and just look and consider what might fit them. Because I think patient-facing roles are very, very popular, but we've also got non-clinical.
There's over 250 different roles in this organisation. So whatever you like to do, I can guarantee we've got a space for you to do it if you would like to. Could be anything from gardening to weighing babies,
absolutely,
like you've described.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
Yeah, absolutely.
David, what about you? What would you say to people who went, is this for me?
I do mention to it a few people, and when they sort of find out that, oh, David volunteers with alcohol team, a lot of people say, oh, I won't mind doing that. I says, well, try it. There's an induction program. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's like, I won't mind doing another role here, but I'm trying to think what else to do.
Well, I'll leave you to ponder on that then. Claire and David, thank you both for joining me today and sharing your insights. It's clear how vital volunteers are to the life of the hospital and how much they impact on the experiences of individuals receiving care through our services. And I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of you who give so freely of your time to really make a difference to the experiences of our patients and families. If you're interested in becoming a volunteer with Bradford Teaching Hospitals, you can find out more and potentially apply by visiting bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk/volunteering. Claire and David, thank you so much for this conversation. I really enjoyed it.